Welcome to Bench Boost Boys Game Week 37 Forecast. Son, more like Alice Son, with me, Gav, and you, Scott. How are you?
Doing well.
Cool. Bye.
See ya.
But wait, there's more. So, admin first. If you want, you could still join our private league on FPL. We know there's only a couple of game weeks left. P2IFBX is the code. Jump on. Maybe you'll swoop in and win that huge prize Scott talks about every week that doesn't exist.
It's hundreds of thousands of Shiba Inu coins. Now, as it stands right now, we've got two players at the top. Stefan De Jong with This Will Do and Sensei X Onodoga. There's only about 40 points between them.
Mm.
38 points.
That's not a lot, as we well know.
Could go to anyone. It's definitely not going to you or I.
Yeah, when you say it could go to anyone, it's either those two or somebody swoops in and steals the glory at the final minute.
Do it.
Good luck to you. At Bench Boost Boys is the Twitter if you want to get in touch with us or send us a mailbag question. Benchboostboys.club is the website. We will crack on with how we did in Game Week 36. Rest of the itinerary is watchlist update, Game Week 37 fixtures, and then we'll wrap up with our own plans for Game Week 37. Bench Boost Boys. Game Week 36 is just wrapped up, Scott. Would you like to go first?
Yeah, I will. That's usually how we do it, because you always do that segment, and then I go first. One day, can we try one?
I hope you're enjoying this first time, listener.
Can we do it next time? I'll be like, welcome back to the Bench Boost Boys. Oh, no, I can't.
We can do it, mate.
I can't do it.
How'd you get on?
49 points, so approximately 11 points above the average.
Nice.
The average was 38 this week. I got 49. I didn't have excellent scores across the board. I just had three or four players that did well, one that did particularly well, so I finally picked the right captain. It was a toss-up this week for me between Salah and Kane, and I put it on Salah, and he ended up getting 10 points for 20 in total, which was quite good. Otherwise, it was going to be Kane. He ended up scoring a goal and getting a couple of bonus for 8 points, so that wouldn't have been too bad either way. One of my new transfers in Rafinha did quite well. He got an assist for 6 points.
Yep.
I also transferred in Salah. So I actually didn't have Salah last week. So he was obviously a good transfer. I transferred out Madison and Fernandez. So neither of those two players played. So the worst thing for me was I didn't have any players on my bench other than my goalkeeper that were playing. I had a Leicester City player and a couple of United players. So when Diaz got rotated out by Pep, and scored subsequently 0 points.
Thanks, Pep.
Yep, thanks, Pep. Yeah, that was a bit of a bummer. And then Jota pulled up pre-game with a sore foot. So,
ouch.
Yeah, 0 points from both of those players. Honourable mention for Stuart Dallas with a clean sheet, 6 points. Like I said, Rafinha got the assist, came with a goal. Players that let me down, I guess, Bamford. 4 goals for Leeds and none coming from Bamford. I think he was subbed off in the 57th minute.
Yeah.
Son got a clean sheet point for 3 points in the midfield. No one else, really. I think Martin has got a couple of... he got a save point, I think, which was good because he conceded 3 goals, so he ended up with 2, which is just standard goalkeeper score.
Yep.
How'd you go? Oh, wait, hang on. I'll tell you how I ended up.
Go on.
Game week rank of 1.9 million. Overall rank sitting at 434, it's a little tiny green arrow. And overall points, 2,179.
What was, just as a reminder, your lofty goals pre-season were you wanted to get a... What was your first?
My first goal was that I wanted to get 2,000 points.
And then your stretch?
My stretch was I wanted to finish in the top 100K. My other third goal, which was what I sort of my spreadsheet spat out that I was going to get, was a total of 2,200 points. So,
oh, you're going to get that.
Yeah, I think I'll finish around 2,250
yeah.
Or maybe 2,260, something like that.
But maybe not in the top 100,000, I'd say.
Uh-uh. Things would need to go very well for me and very and poorly for
very
everyone else that's been paying a lot of attention.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, everyone at the top is like, oh, I need a differential. So they're going to...
Can you imagine?
People like Joe Willock and he's going
to... 400,000 people all take a differential gamble, all fuck it up, and you just stroll in.
I just want everyone to be like, you know what? It's Brewster's week, and they pull him in, and he misses 3 pens. That's the dream.
It's minus 2 for each penalty miss. Okay, so I got 1 point less than you, 48. And then on top of that, I took a minus 4 because I got rid of Maguire and Iheanacho and brought in Llorente and Calvert-Lewin, as I said I was going to.
I should point out that my two transfers, I'd rolled one, so I had two frees. I didn't take any points hits there.
Oh, by the way, just to recap, and I know we could probably touch on this later, so you got rid of Fernandes as part of bringing in Rafinha and Salah. Any route back into the team for Fernandes?
One I'll talk about quite soon.
All right, cool. Hold on to that thought. All right, so I got literally 1 point less than you got, 48. Still 10 points above the game week average, but yeah, I had the -4. So it put my game week rank at 2.1 million, which is not fantastic. And I've ever so slightly dropped in my overall rank. I'm now at 408,000, and I've got 2,185 points, which is a mere
6 points difference between the two of our teams.
I'm 6 points ahead of you. Yeah. And I am a little...
This is going to come down to the wire.
I am. We'll talk about this later also. I'm a little nervous about the moves I'm going to make and how that might work, particularly because I do not have Salah currently.
Well, you know my moves already. I've talked about them offline, so you know what I've done, and the ball is now in your court. You know how many points you've got to play with.
I'll be honest, mate, I'm nervous, but unlike you, I do have a lot of players that performed well enough. But what really let me down this week was my captain pick, which has been the first for a while. I've been pretty solid on my captain picks. I actually went for Son, who, as you mentioned, got the classic midfielder's clean sheet. So I got 6 points for him. So I did miss out on getting big points. I guess in hindsight, I would have gone Kane.
Was that hindsight because he got the biggest score, or there no other player that you would have potentially?
It was always.
It would have been. Yeah,
it was between Son and Kane always. Yeah. Hindsight says it was Kane. Son was just a more informed player. But I got 6 points for Trent, 6 for Dallas, 6 for Llorente. That paid off. The doubling down on the Leeds defenders because it got tasty fixtures. Zaha 6 points, Harry Kane 8. Let down by Bamford, Calvert-Lewin and Lingard, who will all be sent to their bedroom without dinner. Creswell got one bonus point, so I only got 3 for him, and Sanchez got 2. Did get a little bit stitched, actually, in the West Ham game, where it looked like I was staring down the barrel of a couple of clean sheet points there, and then...
2 goals in the last 6 minutes.
That just ruined my day.
One for each team, too, so...
Yeah, exactly.
You lost to Sanchez and the Creswell clean sheet.
Yep, bastards. So... average game week, kind of somewhat stifled by a shitty captain pick. But there you go, 48 points all up. Bench Boss Boys. Watch list update. So I mentioned this last week as well. The way I kind of frame watch list is that there could be a guy who was in, you know, one of the kings of the game week, but has got shit fixture coming up. So I won't even bother mentioning him. And now we're also at that point where... there's only 2 games left of the season, so...
And the league's wrapped up too. Like,
yeah.
We know who's won, we know who's been relegated. The only thing
is... The
European spots, yeah.
Yeah, but so mine's quite thin, so I'll start, and it's literally Harrison and Rodrigo from Leeds. Rodrigo, that was really interesting watching that Leeds game at the weekend against Burnley. He came on as a sub for Bamford in, as I think as you said, 57th minute or so, and he just immediately gave a completely different... I mean, he's a different style of player to Bamford altogether, but he was kind of beating the offside trap and running through onto balls. 2 great goals. So suddenly on the radar. I don't know if it's worth taking a gamble. And Harrison as well. I've talked about him on the podcast before, but my kind of love-hate relationship with him. I know I'm overly harsh on him, but he's not always particularly consistent. And when it's not going well for him, he gets a bit down in the dumps and gets angry with himself, and it doesn't help him. And then every now and again, he'll have a game where you just look at him and go, wow, he could play for one of the top 6 easy. So Harrison and Rodrigo are there for me at the moment. How about you?
Well, for me, the 4 players on my watch list, I'll go from back to front, actually. The last player on my watch list is Torres for City. Obviously, he scored a hat-trick. For me, I look at that and I think he's not really much of a rotation risk right now because, truthfully, with Aguero likely injured or something, or old, it makes sense for Torres to be playing more of an attacking role alongside Jesus, and he just proved exactly what he's capable of with that.
And we shouldn't be too surprised. It's not like City make a habit of signing shit players.
Yeah, so I'll be interested to see how he actually performs in the Euros too. So he'll be playing for Spain. Eze, Crystal Palace. Now, the only reason I've not bought him in previously is because if I was going to roll the dice on one of the Crystal Palace players, it would have been Zaha.
Which is what he did.
Scored a goal on the weekend. It was pretty damn good. But Eze actually was one of the kings of the game week with 10 points. Now, Ben, who's also in the Bench Boost Boys league, and he occasionally makes the cameo on the podcast, he has Eze in, so he'd be pretty happy with that transfer, surely. Now, it's a bit late in the piece for me to be bringing Eze in, I think, but I think he deserves an honourable mention for the end of the season. The other two names are Alan St. Maximin for Newcastle, born out of Newcastle's great fixtures, and the fact that they played really, really well on the weekend. I can't remember who they played or what the score was, but I vaguely remember them putting up a very good performance. In fact, it doesn't take a lot for me to just have a hot look right now, but they ended up playing against Man City, and the score was 3-4.
I know, a lot of goals.
Cool game to watch, but Alan St. Maximin is always dangerous.
He's a good player.
Yeah. So he's on the watch list for the last two games of the season. Newcastle have some really great fixtures. And the other name, he came out of my team last week because he wasn't playing last week, and that's Bruno Fernandes.
Right. The aforementioned Fernandes, and I'm sure we'll get to what may or may not happen with that later, right?
I might touch on Newcastle's fixtures. And the reason why Alan St. Maximin is at the front of my mind is Sheffield and Fulham, both teams relegated.
Very true. All right, well, we'll have a little break and then we'll talk about the Game Week 37 fixtures in a bit more detail. Bench Boost Boys. Game Week 37 fixtures. A fair amount of them. Obviously, we're in the penultimate round of fixtures, and this week kicks off with Manchester United versus Fulham, who have gone down already.
I think United still have a fixture outside of the Premier League, and that's that Villarreal final.
Europa League, yeah.
In the Europa League. So that comes 8 days after this fixture. So it's going to be kind of touch and go for United assets in this game. I think partially Ollie, he's a mate of mine, I can call him Ollie.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, it's hard to Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer. It's just hard.
OGS.
Yeah, partially will want to rest some of his players, but will also want them to be in form. So this is one of those that could go either way for any.
Well, they've got no Maguire, who's currently listed on the FPL site as having a comeback date of 26th of May, which is, I don't know if that's going to help him in the Premier League, but maybe for that Europa League final. Mm. So they're slightly weak at the back there, so I'll have to mix it up a little bit. But you're right, with an 8-day gap, outside of paranoia around your players getting injured, there's no reason necessarily why.
But you don't want to wrap them in cotton wool either. So someone like Bruno Fernandes,
it's not a fitness question.
Yeah, he plays a lot of games. The only reason you'd want to rest him is the risk of injury. Yeah.
Or you might see one of the situations if they're 2-0 up after 60 minutes, they might take off a couple of people or something. But
that's how I reckon it'll go. So
it should be a Man United win, though.
Bruno Fernandes is a pretty good shout this week. Another name I think you might have, a Mason Greenwood.
I do currently. Yeah,
and I think he'd be a good player to have because he could play the Villarreal game, or he could also not play the Villarreal game. So,
well, also compared to some of the other guys in the squad, like Mason Greenwood's only really been getting good minutes second half of the season, and he's young, so he should be relatively fresh.
Yeah, and you've got nothing to lose by risking him in the Premier League because you've got excellent replacement players for him in the Europa League.
And he probably won't be match fit, but Martial should be back within the next week or two, so they've got a bit of depth.
No real comparison, though, is there? I think Greenwood's better. I think Martial's shite.
You heard it here first, folks. Martial's shite. Southampton versus Leeds. Nice to see Leeds giving Burnley a bit of a thrashing at the weekend. Southampton coming to some mysterious form when it doesn't matter. Well done. It's at Southampton. Only person set to miss out really that we care about is Bednarek. As we mentioned last week, he's still at 50%.
Yeah, I think anyone and everyone will have Leeds assets in this game. I've got Bamford, Dallas, and Rafinha. I know you've got two defenders, Dallas and Llorente. Don't know if you'll have two defenders for this next fixture.
I do have Bamford. Worth noting that I see a bunch of people, FPL fans and Leeds fans online, talking about maybe, and pundits, maybe it's time for Rodrigo to start above Bamford. It's not going to happen. He is going to be a super sub for a bit. I think the time when Rodrigo gets his starts is probably if Bamford gets injured, which luckily is not that often. But Bamford's not in hot form. He did score the other week. I think by all means, if you need to roll the dice a bit, but just expect that Rodrigo is more likely to be your super sub.
Yeah. Next game is Brighton and Man City. Obviously, Man City's already won the league. They've got themselves the Champions League final. That's a big one. But that obviously comes towards the end of the Premier League season. But again, you're looking at the rotation risk that Pep always brings, and
he's an arsehole.
Makes it hard for me to want to have Diaz still in my team, Ruben Diaz. But he's such a good defender that I'm happy to have him in there. If he doesn't play, he's not going to come on. He doesn't do that. I'll give that to Pep. He doesn't bring players.
He doesn't
on.
Fuck you and get you 1 point.
No, he doesn't. So I'll get. I think I've got Matty Target on my bench.
The only thing,
so.
And we've mentioned this before in a podcast that seems slightly perverse, is that Pep. We're in a situation where Man City have won the Premier League, you know, comfortably, but a lot of people are in a situation where they just don't feel comfortable having any Manchester City players in their team. They haven't really had the traditional 30 goals or 25 goals striker.
Yeah, no.
De Bruyne has had a wonky season, and he's currently set as an unknown return date. So it's made it very difficult. And then people that maybe in hindsight we could have taken gambles on, like Riyad Mahrez, he's had a really good season. We just didn't, or largely we didn't. Shout out Theo, who had him in for a bit. On Brighton's side, Dunk suspended till 23rd of May.
I mentioned last week, actually, I didn't think Brighton would be able to hold out West Ham with Dunk being away, but they did a really good job of that for about 84 minutes.
They're a solid side, Brighton.
They are. They're not. I mean, like...
They're not conceding.
They're fun to have in the Premier League, but...
I like them.
If they went down, you wouldn't miss them.
You wouldn't, but I like them. Chelsea versus Leicester. Oh, that's a rematch.
Yeah, game of the week, I reckon. FA Cup final replay and Chelsea,
you know what that
means? Revenge.
Yeah, that means a 4-0 win for Chelsea, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't necessarily, but...
You heard it here first. If you're a betting man, that's a sure thing.
Quite. That'll be interesting. And I've actually noticed some players, now there's less to play for, not necessarily for these two teams, by the way, but suddenly players who've been quiet all season are popping up. And now it's the rumour mill season, and the one we were looking at it earlier today. Abramovich supposedly saying to Tuchel that, hey, I've got enough money here for you to get Haaland or Lukaku. If you're Timo Werner, you're probably thinking, yeah, I know I haven't scored you many goals this season, but fuck, give me a chance.
Yeah, I mean, Werner, he could come good towards the end of the season. He might get 6 goals in the next 2 games. You just don't know these things.
I like to imagine some kind of parallel universe where next season maybe Chelsea loan him to Leeds or something.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this game and all I think is I wouldn't want players from either team. And so the only player I have from either team, which is Iheanacho, I'm going to pop him on my bench just because I think this game is going to be as cagey as that FA Cup final. I will shout out that goal Tielemans scored was phenomenal. For an FA Cup final, if you're going to win the FA Cup final, you want it to be goal with a goal like that.
Well, I do currently have Mendy.
Is that who you'll be? Because you've got Sanchez as well, and it's either a choice of Mendy or Sanchez.
Yeah, Sanchez playing against Man City. So at the moment, and I can't see myself transferring it. Obviously, we could talk about this in more detail later, but yeah, it's probably Mendy.
To be fair, my goalkeeper is Martinez, and Aston Villa are playing Tottenham, which we'll get to in a minute, but yeah, not very attractive fixtures for any of our goalkeepers then, is there?
That brings us on to the first of the what you've called the yawn match of the week, Everton versus Wolves.
I'm sorry, but it's my yawn match because I don't have any players.
No, it's true. I mean, I do currently have DCL.
Yeah,
and I was even looking at people like Godfrey.
You've got your whole other section. You could put like exciting match of the week if you want, and we could just be like conflicting.
Mate. If I think you're wrong, I'll tell you. But Everton, literally, probably the only positive I can give them lately is they're not conceding a lot of goals, but. Oh, I don't know. It's just a bit of a kind of damp end to the season for Everton and Wolves as well. They're kind of gone for
boil. Wolves have been probably one of the most disappointing teams of the season, I reckon. I guess we'll probably do a bit of a season recap on the last episode more from the perspective of FPL. But when it comes to assets from any team, there really aren't any that stand out for Wolves. You know, people were hot on Roman Saiz at the very start of the season.
Cody was a good differential or cheapie.
Yeah, and then you had players like Neto.
Neto, yeah.
But no one's really stood out and gotten a lot of points. But we won't talk about that now. We'll do that in a couple of weeks.
We won't. But just to finish on, they probably, I mean, as much as they've stayed in the Premier League, they must feel underwhelmed about how their season's gone.
Yeah, surely.
Next to your match of the week, we've got back-to-back your matches of the week.
Yep.
Newcastle versus Sheffield United.
Sleep through these games. You know, I say that Newcastle obviously had a cracking game against City, and Sheffield popped up with a win this morning against Everton. But
I fancy Newcastle for this, purely on form.
I do too. I've already put a cheeky bet on this one, actually. But
Callum Wilson still unknown return date. Not that
this game is a yawn match for me. Pre-transfers, and I'll get to my transfers in a minute, but I might actually have a little bit of an interest in this game.
My skin in the game. All right, Tottenham versus Aston Villa. So Tottenham coming off a 2-0 win. Grealish is back for Villa. They had an interesting game at the weekend, didn't they? They were up against Palace and ended up losing 3-2.
Yeah, they were up 2-1, and Chelsea, Crystal Palace came back. Zaha popped up. You didn't. Did you have Zaha?
I certainly did, and I was grateful to see that late goal.
Yeah. I can see that, actually. Got a yellow card too, the prick. But
just got carried away.
Kane, he's in decent form. I know he got a goal and a couple of bonus points. Højbjerg
got an assist and a goal.
Goal and assist, yeah. He's been really solid for Tottenham, but he's not such a great fantasy asset. He doesn't score too
much. He's more of one of those holding, slightly defensive midfielders.
He's the N'Golo Kante of Tottenham.
I'd fancy Spurs to win that, to be honest. And yeah, if Kane could...
Yeah, me too.
Kane, well, another thing to mention as well, not really FPL related, Kane and Salah neck and neck on top goal scorer for the season.
Yeah, yeah.
21 apiece at the moment.
Yeah, that's going to be a really exciting race in the last game of the season. Actually, I think...
Who's their last... Isn't their last game of the season, like, against each other?
Tottenham has a tough last game of the season, actually. I think it's... let me have a look here.
It's Leicester away. Yeah. And Liverpool are at home to Palace. So, the momentum's in Salah's favour, to be honest.
The momentum's in Salah's favour, and the fixtures are in Salah's favour. Yeah.
We shall see.
That's part of the reason why I bought him in towards the end of the season.
I had him
for a long time, got rid of him, bought him back in, and I'm comfortable.
Well, a few weeks back, 3-4 weeks back, when Liverpool suddenly came to life and I bought Trent in, which was a good decision. At the same time, I would have loved to have brought Salah in, and I tried for a couple of weeks, and without taking 8 or 12 point hits, I couldn't quite make it work based on other priorities I had. But I am disappointed that I don't currently have Salah. Burnley versus Liverpool, speaking of Salah. Burnley coming off a big loss against Leeds.
We've got Crystal Palace Arsenal to talk about first. Stop skipping my team.
I just get excited. Well, you know what the reason is?
Your match of the week.
Arsenal. The only reason that you'd have interest in this match is because you think, Palace got a few goals at the weekend, maybe they'll beat Arsenal. What the fuck's wrong with Arsenal, man?
The thing that I look at with Arsenal is they've got no reason not to just start playing some young players.
Get Nketiah up there every game now. Like, they're playing... They're literally playing for nothing.
Yeah, they're not playing for anything. Neither are Crystal Palace, to be honest. Mm. Playing for pride, I guess. Okay. Yawn match of the week. There's three yawn matches of the week.
I just feel very conflicted talking about Arsenal this season. You know, I'm not an Arsenal fan. You are, but historically, at least in the last 20 years, they've been a big, big team in the Premier League.
Arsenal just don't have any real exciting players.
It's fucked though, because I remember early in the season we'd look at this and I go, on paper that Arsenal team's good. On paper, Arsenal's strongest 11's better than Leeds. I mean, and they're about the same position in the table, but you expect so much more of Arsenal.
You know, having watched Leeds this season for the first time in a long, long time, I think Leeds have a better team.
Well, they play better as a team. Mm. I don't know, maybe the heads are dropped. Anyway.
Maybe it's the manager.
Get it together, Arteta, you got this. All right, so now we'll talk about Burnley and Liverpool.
Yeah, like I said, I'll be watching Salah for this game because he did just get me 10 points, so hopefully...
Jota, unknown return date. Pope, 50%, by the way. There you go, little injury update for you.
Yeah, well, Jota has fucked me one... Like, he had to keep... I mean, last week he got 10 points. This week he didn't play at all, so he got the 0. So netted out at 5 for the last couple of weeks, but prior to that, he was a pretty uninspired transfer, if I'm being honest. I bought him in thinking, oh, he's going to be back in great form.
I never had
the confidence.
I think it was
about 3 games where he did nothing.
Yeah, I wasn't that confident. Mainly because he's not always a guaranteed starter, although ironically recently he has been. Well, Liverpool will be hoping to beat Burnley there, and maybe the aforementioned Mohamed Salah will get some goals.
We should talk about, and obviously we named the episode after Alisson's goal, we should talk about the fact that Liverpool left it pretty bloody late to get a result this morning.
Proper Roy of the Rovers stuff.
And, I don't know, if you haven't watched the game yet or the highlights, dear listener, go and have a look. Alisson came up 94th minute and scored a fantastic header. So yeah, they ended up beating West Brom 2-1, and it was just a exciting. It's the scenes. They were good.
Yep, and as we said, Liverpool are on pretty good momentum. So a good end to the season for them.
I'll say this once.
Yeah,
goalkeeper should get 10 points for a goal.
Fuck. Well, I remember some classics in the past. Chilavert for Paraguay used to take all their free kicks and penalties and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, it's modern day Premier League. How often does a goalkeeper score?
Not too often.
Probably once every 2 seasons. And yep, usually it's one of those lofted up the field and the other goalkeeper just misreads it and the wind takes it in or something like that.
Or it's a little bit like the Alisson one where it's keeper coming up in injury time for the corner. And then he usually just fouls a defender. But I think you're probably on the money there, one in every 2 seasons. No, but let's not change the rules of football.
I'm not saying they should be worth 10 goals. I'm talking about Fantasy Premier League.
Oh, no, yeah.
Should be worth 10 points.
Yeah.
It's an accomplishment.
Let's try and put that forward. You heard it here first, listeners.
I'll talk to Seth Blatter.
God. At Bench Boost Boys, tag us as you start tweeting the Premier League, or FPL more specifically, asking them to make 10 points for a keeper's goal. Should they also make it extra minus points for the keeper who concedes from another keeper? I'm overthinking
it. Yeah, why not?
I'm overthinking it. Last game of the game week, West Bromwich Albion versus West Ham United.
Lingard, fucking do something.
Yeah, that's a bit disappointing. I mean, maybe it's West Ham as a whole. But Antonio did well when he came back recently, but Lingard's definitely got off the boil.
You know what the worst part about Lingard is? He just got us all so excited. He's the best player in the world.
Always forgiven. Yeah. All those memes and jokes over the years about how he's a promising youngster, even though he's about 50.
No, I will say this. He had an absolute purple patch. He was doing so fucking well.
He had a lot to prove, didn't he?
Yeah, look, he slowed down a bit towards the end. I mean, I'm going to keep him for the rest of the season just because he is capable. But it's been a few games, Lingard. Jesse, if you can hear this, just score.
I'm going to touch on that notion of hanging on to players who aren't necessarily in great form in our next section. It's a nice little segue when we'll talk about exactly, precisely, what we're going to do in Game Week 37. Are you ready to divulge such information?
I've just refilled my glass, so I'm ready.
Bench Boost Boys. Game Week 37. We've just discussed the fixtures. Now we're going to try and talk a bit about what we're going to do.
We haven't even got any notes. Do you want to write your notes first?
No, I'll do it on the fly, mate, because I'm not fully decided. So as much as I always joke before we get to this section now and say, here's what exactly we're going to do, playing on the fact that sometimes it doesn't work out that way, I'll do it on the fly. So you start. Don't put me under this pressure, please.
Okay. Well, I've made 2 transfers this week. I know we're at the sticky end of the season and every point matters. So I felt a little bit sick making my second transfer. But I think overall it will be for the best. And that's because I'm not super comfortable with putting Ian Acho or Matty Target on the field, given that Leicester are playing Chelsea. Not that I don't think Ian Acho can't score in that game. I'm not super confident. And Matty Target hasn't been particularly prevalent as a goal scorer for me, and they're playing Tottenham. So I ended up taking out Son Heung-min and Jota. And the reason I picked those two players, Jota's injured, and Son was $9.5 million that I needed. And I bought in Bruno Fernandes.
He's back.
He's back into my team. And Alan Saint-Maximin. So like I said, Newcastle have some great fixtures.
Will he start?
Yeah, I think he will. He's
not in the game, I mean in your team.
Yeah, he is. So okay. I've still got Harry Maguire injured on my bench. Yep. I've got Ian Acho and Matty Target on my bench ready to come on if any of my players don't play, which gives me a starting lineup. Keeper doesn't really matter. It's either going to be Martinez or Sanchez. At this point, it's Martinez. But along the back, Diaz, Shaw and Dallas. Now, I'm pretty comfortable that Shaw and Dallas will play, not so much with Diaz. So Matty Target will naturally slot on. But I have put Iheanacho as my first sub in the event that any of my midfielders or forwards don't play. And I've got Lingard, Salah, Fernandes, Rafinha, Saint-Maximin, Kane and Bamford. So on my starting lineup, I have six of the kings of the season, and that's Martinez, Dallas, Fernandes, Salah, Bamford and Kane. So confident that I've got the points. They've got great fixtures with United playing Fulham, got a couple of those players. Salah is my captain. Now he's playing Burnley. It was a tough choice between him and Fernandes, and the reason I went Salah is because as much as Fernandes just came off the back of a 38-point captaincy for me, he has had a week off. So hoping Salah can continue his rich vein of form.
I hope he doesn't.
Is that because you can't get him in?
So here's the thing. Something I've tried to do, not desperately, but had liked to have done over the last, I'd say, 3 weeks, is look at a way to bring Salah in. There's not an easy way for me to do it without getting rid of someone I want to keep and maybe taking an 8 or 12 point hit. So at the moment, at least, I'm kind of resigned to not doing that. If anything else as well, given how close we are in our points, maybe that would be a stupid thing to do anyway, like sacrifice 12 points just to try and be on par.
I'm telling you right now, sacrificing 12 points would be stupid. As one professional FPL commentator to another.
You get paid, do you?
In Shiba Inu coins, yes.
This week's sponsor, Shiba Inu token.
I don't think it'd be worth a 12-point hit. I don't even think it'd be worth an 8-point hit, because when you think about it, even if you captained him, you're just going to be netting the same points as me for that transfer in. So what you've got to potentially maybe look at is a better captaincy choice or a differential.
Yeah. So then, I mean, in an ideal world, and we joked about this off air earlier, for me to do everything I wanted to do, I'd still be looking at 12, like outside of Salah, I'd still be looking at like 8 or 12. And I'm just not going to take that at this point. So I'll talk more about what I'm more probable to do.
Where are your problems in your team?
Right now, I would say that when you've got an underperforming Lingard, and a front line you can't rely on, and then I'm just trying to look for an extra bit of spark. So I have an answer, which is I need another Leeds player because their fixtures are lovely jubbly.
You want more than three? The rules aren't changing, Gav. They're not going to change them. They're not going to bend them for
you. The funny thing is, Scott, and I know it's going to shock you, I'm entirely aware of that. So if you let me finish, Llorente's got to go.
Right.
Ideally, I wouldn't.
Now, you brought him in for 1 week, though, and he scored 6 points.
Yeah.
That's a tough transfer. Well, did he not meet your expectation? Was he expected to get 18 points?
Listen, brother. Llorente out, so I can bring in either Rafinha or Jack Harrison. Because Leeds, I'm looking at their attacking returns. If I get 10 points from one of those guys, that's an extra 4 points, Scott.
All right, I've got Rafinha.
Jack Harrison.
So you're looking at Jack Harrison.
I should do now.
So who are you going to bring? Who are you going to take out of your midfield, and who are you going to bring into your defence?
Zaha out. Don't really like Palace's fixtures, and he's not exactly on fire. He did get a goal at the weekend, but the returns haven't been fantastic. So Zaha gone, Jack Harrison in, Llorente out because I have to. Like, ideally, I would have just made the midfield change, but the Leeds midfielders are the ones at the moment, so I've got to get rid of Llorente, so I'm forced into the two transfers with this. I'm looking at Luca Dine for Everton.
Oh, not a bad shout. I mean, I haven't looked at Everton's fixtures for the rest of the season. Let's have a quick look at that. Wolves, Man City.
So, potentially, I'd either on the last game of the game week, he'd be on the bench or I'd get rid of him again. Which is fine. So I'm looking at, we talked about earlier, Mendy in goal. And then if you're talking about the kings of the season, I've got seven. Creswell, Alexander Arnold.
Oh, Creswell, he'd be up there.
Dallas, Son, Fernandez, Kane, Bamford. Slightly concerned about Calvert-Lewin's form, but pretty confident that Digne will get a clean sheet. Every time I seem to say it on this show, the teams then don't get a clean sheet outside of the Leeds players last week.
You had some really good defensive assets last week, but
so yeah. That's
it. So are you going to be making those transfers tonight or waiting until tomorrow or sleeping on it? Or
probably tonight. And given if you didn't have Rafinha, I'd have brought him in. But let's mix it up. Let me back Harrison for once.
So you're going to have Mendy. We're both going to have Dallas, so wipe him off. We'll both have Fernandez. Who are you captaining?
Hey, Scott, that's a great question.
It's going to have to be Bruno, surely, Fulham.
Yeah.
At home. You'd take that any day of the week.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm captaining Salah, Fernandez with my vice captaincy. So we'll both have Fernandez. You're still going to be having Lingard, then, I'm assuming.
And Son. And Greenwood.
I don't have Son. But I was just talking about comparative. So who are your starting strikers for the game week? Bamford and Kane?
Yeah, probably. All
right. And we can both ignore our strikers then because we have the exact same strikers. So for you and I, it's going to come down to how Salah performs.
Jack Harrison or Rafinha?
Between those two.
Creswell?
How Saint-Maximin does compared to Son Heung-min.
Yep.
I know who I'd rather have, and it's definitely not Saint-Maximin, but good fixture for Saint-Maximin.
It's a good little head-to-head for us, given that for a lot of the, you know, there's been a large patch of the season where we've had quite similar teams at times.
Yeah, this is going to be a very close end to the season.
May the luckiest person fluke it and win.
If you guys want to see how it ends, join our private league, P2IFBX. If you don't want to see how it ends,
still join it.
Join the league anyway.
At Bench Boost Boys is us on Twitter.
Shiba Inu coins.
I must reiterate, there is no prize.
I never said there was a prize. I just said the statement, 100,000 Shiba Inu coins.
We're going to have the law after us. Who's the guys going after
us? The podcast police.
the crypto police. They're going to come knocking on the door. SEC.
The SEC. They'll say,
hey, Scott, in Australia, you're considered a celebrity and you're telling everyone to buy this shitty coin.
I can tell you right now, I'm not a celebrity. But get me out of here.
You are to me,
anyway.
Mate. All right, have a great game week, everyone. Scott, I sincerely hope you have a shocker. And we'll be able to chat about it next week. See you, mate.
Bye.